Welcome to Beyond Blathers, the podcast where we dive deeper into the insects, fish, and fossils you can find in Animal Crossing New Horizons. I'm Olivia DeBercier.
And I'm Sophia Osborne.
And if you want to support the show, please check out our merch store at etsy.com/shop/beyondblathers. We just restocked our sticker sheets and we're really excited about it, so definitely go take a look. There's four designs, one with insects, one with fossils, and two with sea creatures. They're professionally printed on waterproof vinyl, so they're perfect for your water bottles, notebooks, laptops, fish tanks, whatever you want.
Yeah, they really turned out so well, and I'm obsessed with them. You can also get free shipping if you spend $20 Canadian or more at our shop. That's just a couple sticker sheets or a sticker sheet plus some die-cut stickers or a bunch of die-cut stickers. So yeah, definitely check it out.
And as always, you can also join our Patreon to receive a monthly sticker and print in the mail from me. Okay, on to the episode. So this week, Sophia is going to tell us about the zebra turkeyfish.
Yeah, I'm really excited because I don't think we've talked about a scorpionfish on the podcast before. I could be wrong. I feel like we've mentioned them.
I think we've mentioned them, but we haven't covered them.
Yeah, I have such a bad memory about our episodes. Yeah. But yeah, I'm excited to kind of actually get into the scorpionfish and lionfish, turkeyfish, whatever you want to call them.
Yeah, and I love this little tidbit from Blathers. I always feel like he has funny things to say.
I caught a zebra turkeyfish. Land, air, water, make up your mind.
Yeah, that one. I think that's cute.
Yeah, that's true. It is three different animals
together. It's a really silly name, but I love it. So if you bring a zebra turkeyfish to Blathers, he'll say, "The sheer brilliance and diversity found in the aquatic underworld never ceases to amaze me. The zebra turkeyfish is as stunning to gaze upon as it is deadly. Those spines that are part of its defining physique are chock full of venom. Fortunately, zebra turkeyfish are not susceptible to another's venom. Though solitary, I imagine they give one another a mean fin bump when passing each other by."
Yeah, cute description.
I like that.
They are very stunning. I definitely suggest looking up a photo of them if you haven't seen one before. Once you look them up, you'll probably recognize them. I feel like they're quite an iconic fish. They have a big body striped in orange, white, and black. So I feel like the color scheme is very October-y. It's fitting for this month. And then their fins are really large and fan-like, and they're also striped. And then its dorsal fin that comes out of its back is made up of all these soft rays, and so is its tail. So yeah, they're sort of these, I want to say almost tentacles or something. They're not tentacles, but they're just these beautiful strips that wave in the water, and they look more like a beautiful piece of art than a fish.
Yeah, I'm looking at a photo of them now, and I know these as lionfish, so and they are just so beautiful. And I always think of that New Girl scene where Schmidt wants a lionfish, but then Winston gets him the clownfish and he's really upset about it.
Yeah, yeah.
I can't quote what he says because it's not appropriate, but it's so funny.
Yeah, they're a popular aquarium fish, so Schmidt isn't alone in wanting one. Yeah. But yeah, as you've alluded to, they are also called zebra lionfish, which I think is a more fitting name. I guess they do look turkey-like in that the fins almost look like the fan of a turkey.
Mm-hmm.
But I just don't think of turkeys as very beautiful or majestic, so I'm going to call them lionfish mostly in this episode. Their scientific name is Dendrochirus zebra, and they're a species in the family Scorpionidae, which shouldn't be confused with Scorpionidae, which are actual scorpions. These are scorpion fish. So this is a family which consists of hundreds of mostly marine fish, and it includes many of the world's most venomous species. So I thought this is a kind of fitting follow-up to our spider episode.
Yeah, venomous fish, man. There's a lot to be afraid of in the ocean. So Blathers said that the venom is in the spines. How does that work?
Yeah, so all scorpionfish have spines, and some have poisonous glands in those spines. This includes the zebra turkeyfish or lionfish, which has 13 poisonous porcupine-like spines along its back, which are connected by a thin see-through membrane. And the venom is a combination of protein, a neuromuscular toxin, and a neurotransmitter called acetylcholine, which is something we've talked about on the show before. After the spine breaks the skin, the venom can enter the wound from the venom glands within the grooves of the spine.
Yikes.
So it can be, yeah. Doesn't sound fun.
No. No, it doesn't.
It's like if porcupines were poisonous.
I was just thinking, I'm like, a venomous porcupine sounds kind of awful.
Yeah.
And is the venom dangerous to humans?
Yeah, it is. I actually read a pretty detailed article from Poison Control about what to do if you get stung by a lionfish, which I thought was kind of fun. Like, there's not a lot of things that we cover on this podcast that you can read about on Poison Control.
Yeah.
So I thought I'd read it because it just, I don't know. I mean, maybe this will come in handy to one of our listeners one day, or I just found it interesting. Just gives a lot of context for these venomous spines. So Poison Control says, quote, "Although lionfish stings are very painful, most can be managed at home if pain is controlled and tetanus immunization is up to date. Symptoms following lionfish stings develop within minutes to a few hours and can include swelling, tenderness, warm skin directly surrounding the sting site, redness, sweating, muscle weakness, and a tingling sensation. A lionfish sting involving multiple spines increases the risk of infection and body-wide symptoms such as changes in heart rate, abdominal pain, sweating, and fainting. Deaths from lionfish stings are rare. Symptoms can last anywhere from 8 hours to 30 days, depending on the severity of the sting."
30 days?
Yeah, it sounds really not fun.
Oh, that's awful.
But fear not, they also give some first aid steps for if this happens to you. So, quote, "Wearing gloves and using tweezers, carefully remove spines from the wound, trying not to squeeze the venom glands."
What? How would you know where those are?
I guess there are apparently two grooves in the spines where the venom glands are. I don't know how visible that is, though.
They're like, whatever you do, don't squeeze the venom glands that are like microscopic.
"Then wash the area with soap and water. Soak the affected limb in water hot enough to tolerate but not to burn, or take a hot shower for 10 to 20 minutes. Very specific. Use over-the-counter medication to treat pain. Call your doctor or pharmacist to make sure your tetanus immunization is up to date. And an x-ray may be needed to ensure there are no broken spines left in the sting site," which is pretty intense.
Yeah, that's similar with, like, porcupines. You have to, like, be really careful that nothing's left because it can migrate.
Ooh, yeah. And, of course, you know, they want you to visit an urgent care center or emergency room if you experience really severe symptoms, like feeling faint, or, you know, there's evidence of infection, or you have visible spines in the wound. So, yeah, it's pretty intense. But as they said, death from lionfish stings is rare. And a lot of people have lionfish in their aquariums and seem to be okay. I assume that, like, that's why there's so much information about what to do if you get stung, because people probably do get stung quite a bit.
Yeah. And, like, where are they? Like, are they in places where people are doing a lot of swimming and, you know, get stung?
Yeah. So in the wild, these fish are from the Indo-Pacific, and their native range is from the Red Sea to Indonesia and Eastern Australia. They have quite a big range, but they've become quite an invasive species. Lionfish have been reported along the southeastern United States coast from Florida to North Carolina, and juvenile lionfish have been collected in waters off Long Island, New York, and Bermuda.
That's interesting and not ideal. It's wild that, like, something so ornate can just, like, I don't know, it just looks so tropical. And to be, you know, as far north as New York, that's impressive.
Yeah. It said only juvenile, so I wonder if they're not able to survive up there or something.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not quite sure what it meant by that, but
okay.
Yeah, still, like, the thing about Florida, especially, it's like Florida is tropical. Like, a lot of invasive species can survive and thrive there.
Yeah.
As we talked about, they're very popular aquarium fish, so it's thought that they might have actually been intentionally released in the Atlantic. And they've become a problem really quickly. The first lionfish was reported in South Florida waters in 1985, with lots of sightings since, and they were documented as established in the early 2000s. Lionfish are now one of the top predators in many coral reefs in the eastern U.S., and they will consume over 50 species of different fish, including juvenile parrotfish, which eat algae and help stop it from overgrowing and killing corals.
Yeah, we talked about parrotfish and how important they are for coral reefs. Yeah, that's really unfortunate.
Yeah, and a lot of these other species of fish are also, you know, ecologically important too, so it's definitely concerning. I read this really interesting New York Times article called Florida Keys Declare Open Season on the Invasive Lionfish by Eric Olson back in 2010. And the article is about these derbies that they have in Florida for catching lionfish to try to help raise awareness about them as an invasive species. I wanted to read the opening of the article because it just felt so immersive and fun. Quote, "Crawling through turquoise murk on the ocean floor near Tea Table Key, Rob Pillis glances at a half dozen lobsters that twirl their antennae in the fast-moving current. Mr. Pillis, an avid spear fisherman, would normally stuff the crustaceans into his mesh bag for dinner, but today he is after more exotic quarry, an invasive species called the lionfish that threatens to wreak havoc on this ecologically sensitive marine system. Within a few minutes, Mr. Pillis spots a lionfish and its extravagant zebra-striped fins on a bridge pylon. He steadies his homemade spear and skewers the fish, slicing off its venomous fins before putting it in his bag. He gives an enthusiastic thumbs up and keeps moving. Later, on the deck of his 28-foot motorboat, Mr. Pillis turns his bounty of 5 lionfish over to his teammate, Mike Duggan, who puts them on ice. Jackpot, fellas, exclaims Mr. Pillis. Mr. Pillis is team captain of the Lion Hunters, one of 18 groups of divers armed with nets or sharp spears who are here to compete in the final stage of a newly created lionfish derby in the Florida Keys. Derbies like this one are one way that officials and scientists are seeking to bring attention to the potential damage caused by this voracious, rapidly breeding fish and to control its spread, which in the Florida Keys has been so quick that wildlife managers are having a hard time adapting." End quote.
Huh. That's really interesting.
Yeah, just from like a writing perspective, I loved kind of the character building in that opening. Yeah. And yeah, I really felt like I was there. And what a interesting event. The article goes on to talk about why the lionfish is such a devastating invasive species. It has no known predators. It can produce 30,000 eggs in a single spawning event. And it can spawn every 4 days.
Oh, no.
So that's a lot.
That's kind of amazing.
Wow. Yeah, they're kind of perfect invasive species.
Yeah. I mean, the only thing that would make them like even more perfect is if they were like less conspicuous than they are.
That's true. They're very conspicuous. I guess they're easy to like spear.
You're like, yeah, I'm confident that that is in fact a lionfish.
But then as they kind of talk about in this article, you know, these derbies are not an effective way to get rid of them.
No.
Here's the end of the article. Quote, "While lionfish numbers are growing, the fish can be elusive. Despite the best efforts of the 18 teams in the Lower Keys Derby, only 109 fish were killed, adding to the 550 lionfish killed in the 2 previous contests in Key Largo in September and Marathon in October. One potential solution is to promote the fish as food for another voracious predator, man. Lionfish are considered excellent eating. Indeed, after the lionfish derby here, participants feasted on fried lionfish nuggets. They taste a lot like hogfish, says Mr. Duggan of the Lion Hunters. They're really good."
I like that line, because I wonder to myself, is hogfish a flavor that's familiar to a lot of people? Because it's not to me.
Yeah, probably not. Not to me. It definitely made me wonder about eating them with them being venomous, but I guess as long as you cut those spines off, it's okay.
Yeah, I guess so. It is a little weird, but
they don't like look like that be that tasty to me, but
and I've seen like I'm pretty sure I've seen on OceanWise and like those sustainable seafood guides, I do see lionfish there a lot. So if they're promoting it, I would assume it's pretty safe.
But yeah, it's pretty sad. Apparently in parts of the Caribbean, you can be snorkeling and all you see is lionfish, no native species.
That is really sad.
Before we end today's episode, I did want to fact check something Blathers said. So he says they're solitary, but everything I read said that they can be found in small groups living and hunting together. The way they hunt is also pretty freaky. They'll herd their prey into a confined area using their venomous spines and their fins to create a barrier. And then the individuals in the group will take turns striking at the prey. And sometimes they'll even blow jets of water at the prey. Sounds like bullying.
That's horrible. I feel like nothing you've told me about these fish makes me like them very much. Like, yeah,
no,
they're
pretty. Not very likable.
But they just sound like these, like, Regina George bullies of the sea. Very beautiful, yeah. But really just a nuisance.
That's a good way of summing them up. They're just kind of this invasive species machine. And yeah, they're very beautiful and maybe they're yummy.
Maybe. But we'll have to track down some lionfish to eat.
Yeah, if we're ever in Florida, I guess. I wonder if they still run these derbies because that article is from 2010. But I'm like,
oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I've definitely still heard about them being invasive.
Yeah, definitely. It's also funny because this is sort of unrelated, but zebra mussels, right, are really invasive.
Yeah.
Is that what they're called?
Yeah, zebra mussels.
It's just funny, like, what is with the zebra?
Don't name anything zebra.
Yeah.
Keep that name for the thing that is what it is.
I wish zebras would be invasive in Canada.
That sounds really fun.
Yeah.
Invasive zebras. Thanks so much, Sophia, and thanks everyone for listening. If you want to support the show, you can join our Patreon to get exclusive rewards and make sure to check out the new sticker sheets on our Etsy shop.
You can also follow us on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok.
Tune in next week to learn more about the insects, fish, and fossils you can find in Animal Crossing New Horizons. Bye!
Bye!